This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
The Penguins look to continue the bounce back tonight at home with the Red Wings of Detroit. Detroit at the top of the Atlantic Division. Stuart Skinner coming off of his best game in net as a Penguin. And the Pens making a couple of trades as well with divisional opponents, which I think is weird, right? I mean, I think it happens a little bit more often in hockey because you've got 7-8 teams a division, but I can count on one hand at least trades that I remember that maybe the Pirates have made with the Cubs and the Reds, and the biggest one is the Key Brian Hayes trade to Cincinnati, which I thought was very peculiar that they traded him to a divisional opponent.
I really couldn't believe the Joe Flacco trade from the Browns to the Bengals.
And Mike Tomlin was very critical about that, and rightfully so, because it old Cowboy Joe Flacco caught them off guard in that shootout on was that a Monday night?
Thursday night.
It was
football.
A Thursday night football game. Yeah, you're right. But anyway, yeah, so the Penguins making a couple of trades. They trade for Igor Chinnikov from the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then just yesterday, Kyle Dubas flipping Philip Tomasino for Yegor Zamula, defenseman for the Flyers. So maybe a little extra weird that those two teams were doing business with one another since they are bitter rivals. But again, you know, just kind of flipping a forward that has had similar production at the NHL level for a defenseman. We got a chance to chat with Tyler Kennedy about the Penguins in the last hour. If you missed that, you can use the Odyssey app to rewind and check out our chat with TK. But right now we're talking about the Steelers at 412-928-9370. Your confidence level for this game on Sunday at home against the Ravens, and what might be on your Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Dave, who's calling from Uniontown. Hello there, Dave. Happy New Year to you, good sir.
Hey, far out. Happy New Year to you and everybody.
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
Well, don't laugh at me.
I'll mute my mic so you won't be able to hear it if I do.
Okay. Sunday's game with the Ravens. I just wish that Pittsburgh wouldn't be running 65-year-old offensive plays.
Okay. That's a chuckle in, I see where you're coming from. I'm not laughing at you, so keep going.
Well, no, you didn't laugh with me, but, oh, come on. You know, Pittsburgh's better than that, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, you can't do much when you're leading receiver and the only threat you have when it comes to catching footballs as a wide receiver is serving a suspension. So there's only so much you can do. And that's what, and Dave, I was talking about in the last segment, it's so frustrating because the Steelers torched the Ravens through the air with DK Metcalf at the beginning of the month. Aaron Rodgers threw for 280 yards. And the Ravens' pass defense isn't very good. So if there was a way for the Steelers to combat a potential Derrick Henry feasting, which I think very well may happen on Sunday night, they'd be able to get him through the air a little bit like they did in December. But guess what? DK Metcalf can't play. So that's, again, yeah. Hopefully Calvin Austin's healthy and might be able to spell some of that. I just don't have much confidence in it.
Well, just hope for the best. At least the three college teams I wanted to win yesterday did. So everything's okay.
There you go, Dave. Well, happy New Year to you. Be healthy, be safe, all that good stuff, and enjoy the day. Logan, were you guys a pork and sauerkraut family on New Year's?
We are. That's what I'm approaching eating later, and I've always had to be talked into it. I'm not a huge fan. I actually hate it, to be honest with you.
Really?
But I hear that it's good luck if you have it, so I think that I have to have it.
Yeah, that's the whole, and I'm pretty sure it's like a Pennsylvania Dutch tradition, so it's localized to our region. It's one of those meals, and don't jump down my throat when I say this, because I think Thanksgiving food is miles better than pork and sauerkraut. But, you know, you're not firing up a and doing all the prep work for a roast turkey or a deep fried turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes in like June. That's a once a year type of thing. And the food's better than pork and sauerkraut on New Year's. Don't get me wrong, but I like it enough to eat it once a year. Like, again, if I come home when I was younger, if I came home and my mom's like in April, oh yeah, we got pork and sauerkraut in the crock pot, I'm going to be pissed. Because it's fine once a year. Were you guys a New Year's pretzel people with like the plastic baby that they put in the thing?
No, I've never heard of that.
So, and that's like another thing. Like, it's like this giant, they call it a pretzel, but it's like a Oakmont Bakery does them. Shout out to Oakmont Bakery.
Everything's better at Oakmont Bakery.
And we could shout them out because they spent money during the U.S. Open. We did shows from there. Anyway, it's just like this giant thing with icing on it. It's basically like a giant cake, and everybody takes a slice. And if you have like the plastic, and I think that's like a Creole, like Baton Rouge, like Louisiana tradition. I could be wrong there, but if you find the baby in the thing, it's supposed to bring you good luck for the new year.
Have you heard of the tradition where if you find the pickle ornament on the Christmas tree, you get a candy cane? See, we're teaching each other. Holiday tradition.
Is that a tradition that the Arblasters?
It is the Arblaster household tradition. I don't know if other families do it or not, but we have a pickle ornament, and
is it because it like blends in with the color of the tree? Okay.
Yeah, and it is very hard to find, especially our tree. We have like 2,000 ornaments on it, so you don't even know we have an artificial tree in our living room because there's so many ornaments.
Huh.
But if I had to pick between the sauerkraut and what you were describing there, I would probably go with option number two. I hate sauerkraut. It's terrible.
See, I like sour. I'll get like a bratwurst or one of those things with some sauerkraut and maybe some spicy mustard on like a nice crusty roll.
It's got to be an acquired taste.
Yeah. See, I'm a fan. I'm not trying to eat sauerkraut, you know, a couple times a month. But like, if it's available to put on a hot dog,
well, isn't it literally cabbage that is like fermented and completely, it's like decaying, basically. I don't know if that's the proper term for it in food terms.
It could be. I mean, I'm not eating spoonfuls of the stuff, but I'll throw some on a piece of pork or sausage or whatever on New Year's, and I'll throw one on a hot dog every now and again. 412-928-9370. This game on Sunday is going to come down to which run defense figures it out. And again, we talked about this in the last segment. Like, you go back and look at how these run defenses, how these defenses compare. The pass defenses by the numbers are identical. And the run defenses, now granted, Baltimore's is a tad better than Pittsburgh's if we're going by yards per game. I think it's like 9 or 10 yards difference. But they are back-to-back in comparison to the entire National Football League. I apologize, not 9 yards, it's 4 yards. Baltimore averages 107 yards allowed per game, the Steelers 111. And that number potentially skewed, and we've talked about this before, because the Steelers run defense this season with Derek Harmon versus without is like best in the league versus worst in the league. Nonetheless, though, the Ravens have the 11th best run defense in football. The Steelers have the 12th. I think Derrick Henry is a much better running back than Jaylen Warren, but the combination of Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell running the football has worked for the Steelers, especially in the last several weeks. So again, while I think the Ravens have the advantage and a pretty sizable advantage as far as running backs go in this game, the Steelers are putting up a puncher's chance with Warren slash Gainwell against Derrick Henry. And if somehow the Steelers are able to keep up, okay. But if not, and it gets to a situation where the Ravens jump out, run it down the Steelers' throats on the first couple drives of the game, it's a two-possession lead at the end of the first quarter, which it potentially can because the Steelers have gone like, what, 64, 65 straight games without scoring more than 7 points in the first quarter of football games. So there's a chance, based off of that metric, that the Steelers are in a hole at the end of one. And if they are, and they have to start throwing the football without DK Metcalf, yikes. 412-928-9370. What's on the Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? Let's go out to Frank. Happy New Year, Frank.
Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. The clear wish list is Kazuma Okamoto. He's number one.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, if we're going to paint it with a broad brush, so does Mike Tomlin to speak, my Pittsburgh sports wish list item for the Pirates, and I dumb this down to like the lowest bar possible, Frank, just have this team, for the love of God, be playing meaningful baseball in the month of August.
Well what about now? What about the offseason?
Okamoto would be nice. There were reports out there from a couple of accounts that suggested that it was the Pirates were very much involved and the Pirates might even be the front runners. He doesn't get posted, I don't think, until tomorrow or Sunday, the 2nd or the 4th. I forget which day. But a lot of like the more reputable baseball people suggest that once he's officially posted, that's when you'll figure out when and where that guy signs. I saw the Pirates. I saw the Angels. And for whatever reason, you know, a lot of the Japanese players like to pick the West Coast, especially LA. So I think the Pirates have a little bit of a disadvantage in that regard, especially because Ohtani went to the Angels and is now with the Dodgers. And there's a whole host of Japanese talent playing in LA. Right. If they don't get him, you know, I think there's a couple of other avenues in which they can go, but I'm satisfied with the offseason so far, especially because eventually, you know, Connor Griffin's probably going to be a member of the big league club in 2026.
Yeah, we hope so. But you're satisfied with just O'Hearn and Lau then?
Compared to just Spencer Horwitz a year ago? Yeah, I am. Yeah. I don't think they're done. And I think we'll get maybe at least one more move. The other thing too, Frank, they need a back-end starter. And it'll be interesting to see
Justin
if they...
Verlander, baby.
Oh, geez, Louise, that'd be something. But that could be a move potentially that they make in spring training, kind of like they did with Andrew Heaney last year. And that worked for a little bit, I guess, a couple months.
But
regardless, I don't think they're done. But even if they are, it's a hell of a lot more of an improvement than last year, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Moon...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Township and Crescent Township, we want the Okamoto Dragon bad.
That'd be awesome.
We want him.
I would be half inclined to buy season tickets if that's the case, Frank. Thanks for the call and Happy New Year. I think it, and Logan, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's posted.
It is January 4th.
So it is Sunday.
Correct.
So that might be another plot line for the radio shows on Sunday, in addition to obviously the big one, which is Steelers-Ravens.
I think that would punch the Pirates' ticket to be a legitimate postseason contender if they get Okamoto. And another guy being Suarez at third base. I mean, that's a guy that puts up 40-plus homers a year. You're talking about a team that had Key Brian Hayes hitting maybe 5 home runs per 500 at-bats. That's a big, big step up. That's more home runs from Suarez alone in his season last year than the Pirates had combined in the infield. So I would be fine with either guy. I think Suarez is more proven, though, than Okamoto, obviously, being that Suarez has hit against major league velocity, 98-plus mile-per-hour fastballs. I think that weighs into it, too.
The other guy that's out there is Yoan Moncada, who only hit 12 home runs last year, but again, I think is a little bit more of an improvement offensively than Jared Triolo. But I think their wish list, it's Okamoto and Suarez are at the top. 412-928-9370. Joe in Mount Lebanon's on the fan. Joe, Happy New Year.
Hello, Jack. Happy New Year to you, too. You know, I knew the Steelers were in for a rough day in Cleveland, Jack. It's cloudy, it's cold, it's rainy, and Mike Tomlin's wearing sunglasses. He probably couldn't see the dumpster fire of an offense that was going on. And Jack, if this thing turns south on Sunday night, it's going to turn ugly. I mean, on national television, you're going to hear boo birds.
Oh, yeah.
Fire Tomlin, boo renegade. It's going to turn ugly, Jack. And for my wish list, okay, I'm looking at a new Pitt basketball coach. I mean, Jeff Capel seemed like a very nice guy. He's been here 8 years. He's been to the tournament one time.
Okay? Yep, and the other thing too, Joe, is that the coaching staff has stayed the same. And I mean, like, what there's seems like there's no willingness to change. I mean, those assistants, Milan Brown, Tim O'Toole, and Jason Capel have been there since the beginning. And like you said, they made the tournament one time. And I did my Pittsburgh sports wish list on the 26th when I hosted on this show and filled in at the day after Christmas. A new basketball coach was on my wish list as well.
And Ellen Green should take a look at the Pat Narduzzi. I mean, at Auburn, Ellen Green fired a guy that was 68-35. So Pat Narduzzi, he's been here for 10 years. He's had 2 good years.
I just think, Joe, at this point, right, Cade Bell is still the offensive coordinator, and Cade Bell, if he doesn't go anywhere, the quarterback doesn't go anywhere. So if you would make a change now, you could potentially, you know, screw up whatever potential Mason Heinschel has in a Pitt uniform, and thanks for the call. I just don't think that right now is the time to really address the Pat Narduzzi issue, especially with what they have going for them at quarterback, number one. And number two, I mean, if we're going to compare the two coaches, Pat Narduzzi had a bad year. They went 3-9, and he fired his entire offensive coaching staff. They left. I think Tyquan Underwood officially, who was a wide receivers coach, left for the NFL. But everybody else was dismissed, and they brought in an entirely different offensive coaching staff, Cade Bell to headline it. So they've adjusted, and he's adjusted when the back was against the wall. Jeff Capel's had the same coaching staff for 8 years. So that's why, and I think it's a very valid comparison between the two. Jim and Jefferson's on the fan. Jim, Happy New Year to you. I know the last time I hosted, Jim, you tried to get in here and we didn't get you on the horn. So I'm glad I got to get to you now, good sir.
Well, it's always good to hear you, Jack, and wish your family a Happy New Year for me. And
Will do, will do.
You know, I Yeah, I guess I'd like to talk a little bit about Pitt because there's was some disappointments, and I don't know. It seemed like on the bowl game that some of these guys kind of cashed it in a little bit. In my opinion, there was a couple of them I was watching, and I thought, boy, I don't know if their heart is in it. And sure enough, they declared for the transfer portal right after. But anyway, that's not the reason I called. You know, I'm a bit confused. Up in New England right now, you have a wide receiver and his buddy that are accused of some pretty serious crimes, and they're still playing. Yet we had a guy who purposely came down to taunt DK Metcalf. Now, I'm not saying that Metcalf should have participated in that, but to get a two-game suspension, which affects a lot of things for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I just don't think it's right. And I understand it during the appeal that it was an ex-Cleveland Browns coach that headed the appeal for DK Metcalf when he had that. But how do the two of those equate with Diggs versus Metcalf? I don't get it.
Well, and that's the thing, too. So, and again, these criminal charges, I guess, have to be, you know, proven for there to be something.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot. And then this is from Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk. When a player is formally charged with a felony or a crime of violence, meaning he's accused of having physical force, blah, 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 the formal charges may be in the form of an indictment or a grand jury. It's one of those things where it's got to be brought to court. And the commissioner can place Stephon Diggs on, like, the exempt list and paid leave if deemed
right.
necessary. I'm not smart enough on the topic to give you a straight answer, but I see where you're coming from.
It doesn't equate. And the other thing is, if indeed, I think part of the reason that this guy lawyered up in Detroit, you know, there's a good case for stalking here because he had an altercation with DK
yep.
Metcalf in Seattle. So he comes up after he does what he does there with his wig on and all, and he makes an announcement, which was caught on a cell phone video, saying that was my goal.
Yeah.
Now, if I was DK and if I were the Steelers, I would seriously consider putting a suit against that bird for stalking. Of course, it's not going to matter in terms of the record, but it seems to me that legally they got something on that guy. And this has really screwed up the Steelers season. I mean, that was a big part. I agree with you that not having DK Metcalf, although I can't quite understand why Rodgers did what he did, you know, in terms of the selection of the receivers that he was going to throw to that day. But, it mystifies me. And I'll tell you what, I've seen a few pictures of that last pass. If that wasn't defensive pass interference, I don't know what it is.
And again, Jim, I think the bigger, and I'm going to let you go because I've got one more waiting. Happy New Year to you, good sir. I think the bigger gripe with that final play is how open Kenneth Gainwell was and the tunnel vision that Rodgers had going to MVS almost immediately, number one. And number two, pass interference or not, Marquez Valdes-Scantling was casted aside by several NFL teams since he last played and contributed at a decent level with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. What are we doing in that situation? Throwing the ball to that guy. I understand there's trust there. I understand that there's a significant amount of trust in MVS, in Aaron Rodgers. I don't love the play call. I don't love who it was targeted for. And a better player, and you're arguably your best offensive player all season long, your most consistent offensive producer in Kenneth Gainwell, was wide open for a potential walk-in touchdown. That's the bigger gripe than oh, there's PI. Why are we throwing the ball to him in the first place? Matt in the car is on the fan. Matt, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Jack. You've been talking about wish list stuff and retards, which is very needed. I was curious, and maybe you know this because, and I'm kind of connected to the game professionally in a couple ways with some relationships and whatnot. Why is Trevor Bauer so radioactive that someone like the Pirates doesn't try to bring him in on a vet minimum and make him the fifth guy? He's got the stuff still. He's, I don't understand it. Like, but it's across, like, this guy hasn't gotten a professional, like a MLB opportunity. And now, especially with all that stuff that's come out, that young lady who, you know, filed all that stuff against him, she got in trouble for perjury or something. Like, all that stuff that's come out,
right,
coming out about
and it. And I think the big concern with Trevor Bauer is it's been, 4 years since he pitched in the major leagues. And I understand that he played, and I had this argument with a couple of callers, Skeens' rookie year when he was pitching in Mexico. I mean, the competition he's facing in Mexico is not even anywhere close to what he would be facing at the major league level.
Oh, valid. That's valid, Jack. However, when you're the Pirates and they clearly, like, spending money is not something that they love to do, and they've taken flyers and chances on guys that we've all shook our head, like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you take a chance on a guy who was proven to be a major leaguer? Proven that there's going to be older pitchers than him in the MLB if he comes in. Older guys with less stuff who will still be in the MLB. So I understand the competition he's been playing against isn't setting the world on fire, but he's still a proven quantity. And again, when you can get him at the vet minimum, and what chance are you taking in that case?
No,
you're not really.
Yeah,
taking a chance.
But yeah, no, I understand that. I wouldn't do it because I think it's also a distraction, Matt, and thanks for the call. But on the flip side of that argument, they brought in a guy like Domingo Germán, and he had proven criminal history. So it's not like the Pirates are you know, that shy away from anybody along those lines. But on the flip side of things too, like, again, Trevor Bauer hasn't pitched in the major league since 2021. He was pitching against bad competition in Mexico in 2024 when his ERA was below 3. And then last year in Japan in the JPCL, the Japan Central League, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Logan, and I don't know if you can, and if not, I'm not going to blame you. That's not like the big Japanese league that the Okamotos and the Otanis come from. And he had a 4.41 ERA last year for the Yokohama Bay Stars. Oh my goodness. Guess who managed the Yokohama Bay Stars last year, Logan?
Who is that?
No, wrong person. I apologize. I read this quickly. I thought it was Daisuke Matsuzaka. Remember him for the Red Sox back in the day, the starting pitcher?
I don't. I'm too young, I think.
I think you are. It was somebody else named Daisuke, but I got excited. He was one of my favorites back in the wee days of watching baseball. All right. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. What's on the Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? 412-928-9370. We'll get into your phone calls, and we'll take a listen to what Aaron Rodgers had to say yesterday about what potentially could be his final start in Pittsburgh. He's a free agent. They lose their out. Is this the last time we see Aaron Rodgers play in black and gold? We'll listen to what the Steelers starting quarterback had to say in his weekly meeting with the media yesterday. But first, we'll take a break, get to the top of the hour, and all that good stuff. We're with you until 2 o'clock. Donnie Football in for the guys at 2, and he will take you until 6, and we're taking you up until Donnie at 2 o'clock. I'm Jack Hillgrove at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Talked about the back end start.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.